Hey everyone, husband here.
And I'm wife. If you've been listening to us, then you know we're all about reading the Bible and reacting to it on our first read-through. Cuss words, crying, laughing, and more.
We're passionate about creating a podcast that takes the sanctity out of the sacred text and simply stating it as we see it.
But we can't do it without your help. We're asking for your support to help us keep this podcast going.
There are two ways you can donate.
Text SACDIS, that's SACDIS, to 533-555 if you're in the U.S. with a one-time donation. Any amount helps.
Or if you'd rather start a sustaining membership, sign up on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse. Membership levels start as low as $2 a month.
We are amazed and grateful for our fans that support us now, and you can become one too.
With your support, we can keep Sacrilegious Discourse alive and well for years to come.
So please donate today.
Text SACDIS to 533-555 if you're in the U.S.
Or sign up for our Patreon page at patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
I'm husband.
And I'm wife.
Together, we're reading the Bible for the very first time.
We grew up without religion and wanted to know what all the fuss was about.
Well, what have we learned so far?
That God is a dick, and apparently some people believe in talking donkeys?
We're not trying to pass ourselves off as experts.
Nope, we're just reading the Bible for the first time and giving our first take reaction.
If you'd like to join us in this venture, you might consider starting at episode 1.
Otherwise, jump in wherever you like.
All right, let's go read the Bible.
Yeah, let's get to it. Husband!
Wife!
I once again will not ask you, do you remember what happened yesterday?
Because we're in Psalms.
We're in Psalms.
Who fucking cares? Because, I mean, not who cares, but you know, I mean, it's all just shit.
Individual poem.
It's not shit. Okay, sorry, it's poetic shit.
It's just small individual poems.
Yes, small individual poems.
And so there's not really a do you remember, like, to be continued or anything.
Sometimes with
that.
Flutes and strings and... Mm-hmm. And
Selahs.
Oh, yeah, but apparently that's not how other people pronounce it, apparently.
Oh.
That's one of the things I learned from, from somebody.
How do they pronounce it?
From Fern, actually.
Oh, thank you, Fern. how is it pronounced?
That's what I need to read. I think it was like Selah or something like that. Oh. I can't remember exactly. So.
Well, I'm here to tell you that I do not know how to say these words, and I'm just going with what I had heard.
But they liked that we said Selah, so.
Okay.
Because that's how they read it the first time. Well, and since, you know, we're reading it for our first time,
yeah,
we pronounced it Selah.
Like I said, I don't know how to pronounce anything. But
Selah.
There it is. But I did hear a pastor's wife say Selah.
Oh.
So I'm not entirely mistaken here, like. I mean, I heard somebody else saying that way.
Right.
Like,
I get it.
I feel like I'm backpedaling.
No,
defensive.
I'm just saying.
So sorry.
I was just saying. Selah.
Okay.
That's all.
I'll probably still say Selah.
Okay.
Just because it's what I'm used to, and then I'll
right.
spend the whole rest of the time being like, wait, what? Wait,
what? I just thought I'd throw the correction out there real quick. You know,
The Last That's of all. Sheila.
Yeah. What? So anyway, that was, we did yesterday. We did Psalms chapters. Let's see. That was 3 through 5. Mm-hmm. And today we're going to be reading.
Psalms 6, 7, and 8.
All right. Let's go do this.
Okie dokie. All right, so we are here doing Psalm 6, 7, and 8.
Okay.
And just as a reminder, some of these have beginning little instructions or titles to the musical people.
Right.
Or I don't know what they are. They're just little additions.
Yeah, sure.
And sometimes they have stuff off to the side that I often mispronounce. Apparently, Sela is Sela.
Right.
But I refer to it.
I mean, if we had to count up all the things that we've mispronounced in the Bible.
Oh, Jesus.
It would be a long day.
I would be in hell.
It might be a long week, even.
I would definitely be going to hell.
Yeah, right. If it mattered.
But
for that.
In the intro, I said The Last of Sheila. And that's because it's a movie that I just watched at my parents' house. It's like really old. But if you like Glass Onion, it definitely was inspired by The Last of Sheila or many movies like it.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. That. Okay. Yes.
So if you like Glass Onions and you don't mind old movies, you should watch The Last of Sheila. It's so good. And oh, I got to tell you. Okay, I know this is way off topic, but
it
listen.
It really is.
this movie is like from the 60s, okay?
Yeah.
And there's this woman and she's got the most gorgeous blonde hair. And I was like, oh my God, that hair reminds me of the judge on Ally McBeal that the main lawyer guy was stooping, you know?
So many random cultural references.
I know, okay.
Like, I don't even know where to go with any
of this.
Do
you remember Ally McBeal?
Yeah, of course, Dancing Baby.
Yes, but do you remember the lady judge with the long blonde hair that was like, I mean.
Only kind of.
Okay, well, at any rate, so I looked this woman up because I was just captivated by her from The Last of Sheila.
Sure.
Okay. And I'll be goddamned, it was the same fucking woman. I recognize her.
You're really good at that.
But I didn't recognize her face. I recognized her fucking hair.
Wow.
That's insane.
Yeah, that is pretty insane.
Who even does that?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Yeah.
So that's why The Last of Sheila is on my mind, because I just blew myself away.
Yeah.
That was unintentional.
Good, like, good job.
I mean, I wasn't trying anything. It just like... just popped in there.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Sorry. So yeah. Psalm 6. Ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. And then don't forget I read these and then after each one I tell you my little notes on it.
I won't
it.
Forget. I
don't
got for, it.
Don't forget. Okay. Psalm 6.
Yeah.
Okay. We open with some instructions. For the director of music with stringed instruments.
Stringed instruments. Jeez.
String.
Wow. I can't talk.
According to Sheminith, a psalm of David.
We'll another one by David, huh?
Mm-hmm. Okay. They're all by David, didn't
I
you
mean,
know?
Right, yeah.
He was so fucking prolific. Walking around with a pen in his fucking pocket.
Right, yeah.
Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm.
Let me put on my serious face.
All those women bathing that inspired him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am faint. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are in agony. I got my bones, they hurt. My soul is in anguish. How long, O Lord? How long?
I don't know.
Turn, O Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. No one remembers you when he is dead. Who praises you from the grave?
Wait, don't you live? Isn't there afterlife? Isn't that a thing that happened even in Judaism?
I think it depends
Although
on the
I
day.
Although I don't think... But that's difficult because like we read something earlier that yeah. like these were written 400 to 600 years after the birth of Christ, right?
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
And so that would mean that there is already an idea of afterlife in Judaism as well as Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. I mean,
yeah.
People would technically remember God after death, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
No, I follow you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not
sorry,
sure.
I didn't mean to, yeah.
But no, it's interesting. Sorry, I know we're in the middle of one here.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that you mentioned that Christianity was already a thing when these were written, because a lot of these are God stuff that's Jesus-y.
Right, right.
So I don't know if you're aware of that. Like,
I mean, I wasn't exactly. I mean, I don't know enough about them to know exactly what this is all about, other than their poems mostly written by David or whatever, hypothetically, even though they weren't.
Right.
But, you know, at least according to scholars and what have you.
Right.
So,
right.
I, whatever. They're psalms. They're psalms.
They're psalms. They're psalms. Psalms, if you will.
Yeah.
Or even if you want.
Right.
I am worn out from groaning. Yeah, you are. All night long, I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes.
What do you think a couch looked like back then?
What do you think a couch that was flooded with weeping looked like?
Yeah, that's
and
true.
How many foes do you have in your life?
Well, David had quite a few.
He did.
If this is David.
He was a fucker. Talking. That is true. Well, I only have a couple foes. And yeah. I could name them because there's only a couple. But I'm not gonna.
Right.
How many foes do you have?
Not many.
I mean, at least the same couple I got, right?
Yeah.
Away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies will be ashamed and dismayed. They will turn back in sudden disgrace.
Yeah.
Do, okay. Do, 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 do. Okay, so that was the end of Psalm 6.
Okay.
And now my phone locked itself out because it was quiet too long. So Psalm 6 is the one that starts, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger. Okay?
Okay.
And this is a penitential psalm, like penitence, okay? And it's traditionally attributed to David.
Okay.
Which we knew.
Yeah, right.
So Psalm 6 is supposed to have been written to serve as a prayer for anyone suffering from sickness or distress or for the state of the kingdom of Israel while suffering through oppression.
Okay.
Okay, so they're like,
Okay. I like that last little.
Yeah. That was some good learning for you. Okay. This psalm is the first of the seven penitential psalms. So there are seven that are specifically referred to as the penitential ones.
Okay.
Remember, penance. Penance.
Yeah, okay? Right.
Yeah. I'm just making sure you got that.
I got it.
Okay. I didn't write down like which other ones they were because like there's like number 40 something, number 80 something.
Sure.
I was like, okay, whatever.
They're further on.
Yeah. And they'll mention it again when we get there. Okay. This is number 5.
But this is important in some regard for penance. Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's necessarily important. I'm just pointing out some trivial facts.
Okay. All right.
Spitting facts, if you will.
There you go.
Okay. It's also been classed as one of the individual lamentations. Do you know what lamentations are?
Isn't that like a song type thing?
No, a lamentation is like, oh, woe is me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like you lament.
Right,
you're like
right.
Brokenhearted and sad and whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. It's also called one of the sick psalms.
Okay.
Not pussick, just sick. Like illin. Okay?
Got it.
And it's also referred to as the psalms of confession.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And also a paradigmatic example of the supplication form in the Psalms.
Paradigmatic. I like that word.
Paradigmatic.
That's a nice word there.
I copied that down. Like, I have a little notebook that's full of, like, words I truly like.
Yeah, that's a beautiful
want to use.
I've never used that word before.
I like paradigm well
enough. Yeah, right. Definitely. That paradigmatic. Paradigmatic. That's amazing.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, forget all the rest of that sentence. Who even cares?
Right.
So these psalms are expressive of sorrow for sin.
Okay.
So that's, I mean, ultimately what the penitence is.
Sorry for sinning. Blah, blah, blah.
Well, not just sorry for their own sin, just that there is sin in general.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
And they're wailing about it.
Got it.
They're lamenting.
Yeah.
Like, God damn it, sin sucks.
Like today, they'd be wailing about all the transgender people and the missing guns.
Doesn't it suck that there's not enough guns to shoot all of the people that aren't white?
Right, yeah.
And and straight and white and straight.
Yeah.
And damn the libs.
Right.
You know, that kind of thing. Yeah. So Psalm 6 is in three parts as distinguished by the person. Okay.
Okay.
Part one is the psalmist addresses God.
Okay.
Okay. Part two, he speaks for himself. Mm-hmm. And part three, he speaks to his enemies.
Ah.
Okay.
Okay.
The psalmist expresses his distress in parts one and two. Oh, lamentation.
Right.
Okay. In stating the enemies of the psalmist, remember all those foes?
Yeah.
We understand that this distress is caused by a relational problem, but it is unclear if he is innocent.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know what the importance of all this is. I'm just giving you
it,
just giving you the trivia and the notes breaking it down.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure.
He does say, however, he pretending that it's David for a second. Yeah. He says he will be reinstated and that his opponents will be confounded.
Of course they will. I mean, God's taking care of all that, right?
But he is faced with the abandonment of God.
Mm.
More lamentations.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Damn it. Hate it when that happens.
In the absence of God emerges the final hope of the psalmist, expressed as a cry of confidence in the last three verses.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got to bring it back, you know?
Yeah. Bring it back. Bring it back. Okay, so that was Psalm 6.
Okay, all right, yeah.
Now we are moving on to Psalm 7.
Psalm 7?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. A Shigayon of David,
okay,
which he sang to the Lord concerning Cush, a Benjamite.
Okay.
Benjamite. I was trying to add in an additional syllable.
Right.
Okay. Oh, my Lord, I take refuge in you. Save and deliver me from all who pursue me. For they will tear me like a lion and rip me to pieces with no one to rescue me. Mm-hmm. That's tough to put into a song.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, my God, if I have done this and there is guilt on my hands, if I have done evil to him who is at peace with me or without cause have robbed my foe, then let my enemy pursue and overtake me. Let him trample my life to the ground and make me sleep in the dust. Selah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah,
I remember to say it that way. Yeah. Arise, O Lord, in your anger. Rise up against the rage of my enemies. Awake, my God. Decree justice. Let the the Justice League. I don't know. I was just like, you know, Avengers assemble.
Yeah.
Decree justice.
Right.
Okay. Let the assembled people. Oh, that's where I got the assembled.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Let the assembled peoples gather around you. Rule over them from on high. Let the Lord judge the peoples. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, according to my integrity. O Most High, O righteous God, who searches minds and hearts, bring to an end the violence of the wicked and make the righteous secure. Okay?
Okay.
Still going.
Oh, okay. All right. I feel like there's a lot of judgment in this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of judgment.
This one is not my favorite.
Against himself and against his enemies, against everybody.
This one's not my favorite.
Okay.
I rather like the next one, so I'm eager to get to the next one.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
My shield is God Most High, who saves the upright in heart. God is a righteous God, judge. Mm. I meant to say judge.
Sure.
God is a righteous judge. Mm. A God who expresses his wrath every day.
Yes, he does.
Wow. How do you see he's a righteous judge and then go on to say he expresses his wrath every day?
Well, because obviously they view it in the way that he's expressing his anger and wrath against those who deserve to have the wrath thrown upon them.
I guess. Maybe he could be righteous and have people not be shitty.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. If he does not relent, he will sharpen his sword. He will bend and string his bow.
Mm.
He has prepared his deadly weapons. He makes ready his flaming arrows.
They aren't made of iron, though.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
No.
That would be bad.
You don't want to stab any gods with iron.
Right.
Nor fairy folk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You can't stab gods or fairy folk with iron.
Iron works wonders on ghosts, I hear, too, I think.
Oh, really?
Isn't that what they use? Didn't they use that in Supernatural?
I don't know.
And they hit them with iron weapons and
no,
stuff?
No, you're right. And right. Salt, of course.
Yeah, of course. Salt. Yeah.
And holy water and hallowed ground.
Right.
Yeah.
You got to know all the things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just in case.
And
you know?
Also, silver on werewolves.
Right.
And cut off a vampire's head or a zombie's head.
Sure.
Both. I mean, generally anything you chop the head off and it's done, unless it's one of those weird ass zombies that keeps moving.
Well, I mean, technically the zombie's not done unless you, you know, stick something through its brain or something.
Yeah.
The head can still chew. It just rolls around.
That's just so weird.
Yeah.
I don't like that kind of zombie.
No.
That's silly. Right. That's just silly. Okay. He who is pregnant with evil.
What? Pregnant with evil, huh?
Damn.
Man.
That is.
That's filled up. That's my belly, bursting at the seams.
My belly's full of evil. I gotta go. And conceives trouble. He who is pregnant with evil and conceives trouble.
Interesting.
Gives birth.
What the
to
fuck?
Disillusionment.
I'm a little disillusioned right now.
I really like that phrase.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I'm gonna say it again. Ready? Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
He who is pregnant with evil and conceives trouble gives birth to disillusionment.
Hmm.
Yeah, that, I like that.
That's a good phrase. Yeah.
He who digs a hole and scoops it out falls into the pit he has made. Don't dig your own
Why
grave.
Why would you fall into the pit you just made?
Because you dug your own grave. You reaped what you sowed.
But you think you know to stand away from falling in.
You're 6 feet from the edge and thinking it's only 6 feet down.
I'm just fucking around.
I was just saying the lyrics to
the song. Yeah, no, I know.
Okay.
Only I couldn't remember what song. So
I know. I kind of fucked it up, but yeah, you get me.
I get you.
Yeah. Okay, so don't dig your own grave. Yeah.
Right.
The trouble he causes recoils on himself. See?
Mm-hmm.
So that's exactly what it is.
Okay.
His violence comes down on his own damn head.
Mm.
Okay?
Yep.
I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High.
Okay.
So yeah. That was 7. Ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, we're going to talk about Psalm 7 now.
Got it. Yeah.
And this one starts, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust.
Uh-huh.
This is a Psalm of David and one of the lamentations of an individual. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Okay. The message in the Psalm is that while the righteous may seem weak, ultimately they will prevail against the wicked.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
And remember when I said that word Shagayan or Shagayan? And
yeah.
We were like, the fuck is that?
Right.
Okay. The Hebrew word Shagayan, which appears in the superscription, which is the title-y thing, is of unknown meaning, and perhaps it indicates an emotional song. So we don't know what it means, and we're like, maybe it's some kind of instruction.
Got it.
Because that's where it is. It's in the instructions.
Yeah. Okay.
So we don't know.
Right.
Okay. Okay, so we're going to read Psalm 8 now, and this is the one I rather like.
Got it.
Okay?
Yeah.
I think this one's pretty. And also, it inspired several hymns.
Got it.
And one of them I even recognized.
Oh,
and so
really?
I'll give you some recommendations at the end if you're interested.
Okay, sure.
All right, Psalm 8. For the director of music, according to Gittith, a Psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man, that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
They are praising the fuck out of God right
there.
They
sure are. Yes,
man,
they are.
That is some high praise.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So Psalm 8 starts, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth.
Okay? Right.
And we're going to get back to that in a second.
Okay.
Guess who authorship is traditionally assigned to?
David.
King David.
It's crazy.
I don't know how you came up with that.
I don't know.
This psalm opens with a direction to the chief musician to perform upon the gittith.
Yeah.
Remember I said that?
I wanted to ask at the time, but I figured you had some information for me.
Mm-hmm. It either refers to a musical instrument or a style of performance, or alternatively, it may allude to persons and places in biblical history.
So basically what you're saying is we have no fucking
clue. We have no fucking clue, but once again, it's in the instructions.
Okay.
So it likely has to be instructional.
Right. That okay? That at least we can guess at.
I tend to think that these things are like instructions to do with the music. Because right. All the stuff after it has to do
that's kind of how I take
play it. The fucking music.
Right.
White boy. Play that funky
Yeah, music. I got the okay. reference. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So it has been referred to as the Song of the Astronomer. That's why I like this one. Because it talks about gazing at the heavens.
Right.
Which inspires the psalmist to meditate on God's creation and man's place in it. And I very much like that. That feels very spiritual and pretty to me.
I don't know. One of the things that always, and I don't disagree. Yes, that is true. And that was a very beautifully written bit there.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, what it made me think of is how small we are and why would a God even give two shits about us? Like,
right.
You know, like
yeah.
There's so much out there and it's large, not a large, it's one of the reasons that I've always questioned religion in general is that
mm-hmm.
why do we think we're so fucking important as to right. even have the eye of a God?
Right.
Like, why would that be anything?
I think that's why I liked this, because it almost, it felt like it was almost there. Like, it was almost getting that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just the astronomer part.
But we have to have such an ego as a race of people to believe that anything that could do all of this would care about us the most.
We literally thought that Earth was the center of the universe. So, I totally agree. We literally cannot fathom that we were anything other than the current form we're in.
Right.
Evolution is right out, you know? Like, even though...
No, there are denominations that will account... that do allow for evolution.
Right, you're level. Right. I'm referring specifically to my parents. Well, I mean...
No, I can't help but feel that
on a personal level.
What do they call it? The
creationists.
Yeah, the creationists.
They believe that the Earth is 6,000 years old, and I'm like, you can believe that all you want, silly head.
Yep.
Okay, so according to one of the Midrash, and remember the Midrash is the writings about the Bible, or about the Old Testament?
Yeah.
Verses 5 through 10 contain questions that the angels asked God as God was creating the world, referring to the righteous men of Israel.
Okay.
And I broke these down because I thought so interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm going to go on a little bit about this longer than I did the other two.
Okay. Yeah.
So the first thing is, what is man that you are mindful of him? And that refers to Abraham in the book of Genesis.
Okay.
Number two, and the son of man that you remember him. That refers to Abraham's son Isaac, who was born as a result of God remembering Sarah.
Okay. Yeah.
Number three, yet you made him less only than God. And that refers to Jacob, who was able to produce streaked, speckled, and spotted flocks.
Okay.
And some of these are coming from not the Old Testament, or not the version of the Old Testament that we're reading, but... the very Jewish
right book. But I do remember that bit where he made the different
types right of, I'm just saying like
or whatever they were
right I'm just saying it's referencing specific verses that are not in
got it yeah
the book that we're reading
right
okay number four and have crowned him with glory and honor that refers to Moses whose face shone and that's in Exodus
okay
number five you give him dominion over the work of your hands. That refers to Joshua, who made the sun and moon stand still, from the book of Joshua.
Okay.
Number seven,
you skipped six.
No.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, I did. You're right.
I was looking at that. I'm like, what happened
damn.
There?
Damn, I don't know how to count.
Yeah.
I don't know how to number. Okay. So, it doesn't matter. I numbered them myself. Like, I didn't copy these. So, we're just going to like, okay, number six, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Number seven. Okay. There is no number six.
Yeah, this is,
okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So number seven, you put all things beneath his feet. And that refers to David, whose enemies fell before him. And that was in the book of 2 Samuel.
Sure.
Number 8, sheep and oxen, all of them. And that refers to Solomon, who understood the language of the beasts. Remember that?
Yeah.
And that was in 1 Kings.
Okay.
Okay. Number 9, and the beasts of the field. And that can refer to either Samson or Daniel.
Okay.
Number 10, the birds of the sky. Now, that refers to somebody that we haven't met yet.
Okay.
Or, no, I'm sorry. No, I was ahead of myself. That refers to Elijah. We know Elijah. He navigates the world like a bird, and he also received food from the ravens.
Okay.
And that was in 1 Kings.
Okay.
Okay. Number 11 is the one that we haven't met him yet.
Got it.
Okay. And the fishes of the seas. That refers to Jonah, who dwelled in the belly of a fish. Okay. You know Jonah and the whale?
Yeah, yeah.
That story?
I know of the story, yes.
Right. Okay, number 12. He traverses the ways of the seas. And that refers to the Israelites who walked through the sea on dry land.
Right.
And that's from the book of Exodus.
Right.
And the last one, number 13. O Lord, our Lord, how glorious is your name in all the earth. Thus the angels concluded, and this is the bit that's added, do what pleases you. Your glory is to sojourn with your people and with your children.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
I just thought that was quite lovely, but that is not all.
So that was like the whole story of all the people. And I mean, like, it's just like this quick version of the Bible, basically.
Yes. And that's why I just really liked it. You know me, I love a good list.
Sure.
And I love a good summary, but I'm not done.
Oh.
I'm almost done.
Okay.
Okay. Remember I told you that there would be a song that came from this.
Yeah.
Okay. And that I would, you know, give you a reference, and we'll link some of my favorite ones in the show notes.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So a lot of these inspire hymns. Most of the time my mind glazes over them because I don't know one hymn from a fucking another.
Sure.
Okay. But this one I did recognize.
Okay.
How great thou art.
Okay.
And I bet I'm going to do a butchered job of the chorus, but I'm betting if you heard the song, you might actually recognize it.
Okay.
From the time briefly that we went to church.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
The chorus is, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Do you recognize that at all?
Not offhand, no.
Okay. Well, I didn't do a terrible job. But anyway, just to let you know, there are several famous versions of that song. My very, very favorite is the one by Pentatonix, and they sing it with Jennifer Hudson.
Oh, then I probably have heard it.
I don't...
If they've done a version.
I hadn't heard it. I love Pentatonix, and I hadn't heard it.
No, yeah, that's fine.
They do a live version with Jennifer Hudson, and she wails, and to say that it touched me, like, I got goosebumps, I was moved, I almost had tears. It was really good. That's my favorite version.
Yeah.
Apparently Elvis does a version. I didn't listen to that one. If that's your thing, you know.
I like some Elvis.
Yeah. I just, after listening to Jennifer Hudson, I was just like, that's okay. I got what I need. The one that I listened to before that was a very famous one by, what's that religious chick, Jesus Take the Wheel?
No you idea. Know,
Carrie...
Underwood?
Yes.
Oh,
Carrie Underwood.
Wow. That was the only one I knew.
Did a live version with Vince Gill. So if you're into country, that might be the one that you like.
Okay.
Okay. Then she redid it as a studio version and did a video, and it's really good as well.
Gotcha.
So I very much like her version, but my very favorite, you guys, is Pentatonix with Jennifer Hudson.
Okay.
I mean, it's beautiful. I'm not religious, clearly. I don't go to church, and I don't believe in God. But this thing moved me, and it's really good. And I think you should listen to it if you enjoy good music and just gorgeous voices.
Right.
Okay? And we'll link that one. It'll be up to husband if we link the other two that I mentioned.
Well, that's fine.
Okay.
We'll get it figured out.
All right.
All right. So that was Psalms chapters 6 through 8.
6, 7, 8.
And tomorrow we will be back with
9, 10, 11.
All right. We'll see you guys then.
Yep. Bye.
Hey, wife. I guess that's the end.
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.